Good morning, Power Hour Nation. A very, very good day to be alive, and so glad you joined us. Each and every one of you is important, and I hope as time goes by, this broadcast, the guests we have on, that you understand your individuality, your place in this universe, your place in this country, your place in your family, your place before God. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour radio show, thepowerhour.com, thepowermall.com are two websites. Again, I'd like to apologize that, you know, if you're listening live, we've had technical difficulties the last couple of days, and just to explain, it pretty much seems that during our show, no issues at all with the network at all. During our show, a problem starts, it lasts for a little while, what have you. Todd has moved heaven and earth trying to figure out where it is. We feel like we got a handle on it. Some people won't be able to come by and really fix this probably to the weekend. We may have problems today. Just know on replay, it's going to be crystal clear. If there's problems live, it's only live. I apologize. On the shortwave, it ends up being perfect because that's a replay. So just want to apologize, let you know what we're dealing with. Just one of the things. You start speaking out on certain things. Maybe it's just a coincidence. Maybe it is just a technical difficulty, but you start saying certain things and there comes problems.
Correct.
So I've noticed. Uncle Kevin.
So I strapped on an extra gun just in case.
Just in case. Welcome to the Power Hour, Uncle Kevin.
It's great to be here again. Love being on the Power Hour. I just want to tell you, I certainly enjoyed your soliloquy yesterday. That was
the hour and a half soliloquy.
That was Shakespearean. I loved it.
I wouldn't go that far, but I'm glad that you were moved by it.
I was moved.
What moved you?
The patriotism got my blood going.
Okay, what does that mean? People hear patriotism.
Well, when
what?
That guy got whipped, I felt every stroke that guy took.
That's one of the most stunning stories I've ever heard in my life.
Unbelievable!
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable that his willpower not to take that license was stronger than his life.
Not only his life, it's like he didn't get like shot in the head.
No,
like he got whipped
to death.
To death. We're talking about the incident in Culpeper, Virginia, mm-hmm. when Patrick Henry goes through on the way to the secret meeting, and there sees a man whipped, literally being whipped almost to death. They stop. All he had to do was to take a license to preach. He was a preacher. And England wanted to license preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And all he had to do, they asked him many times, look, if you just take this license, we'll stop. This will all stop if you take the license.
That's all you had to do.
That's all you had to do.
Stop.
And he said, if God called me to preach, I do not need a license from man.
That's right.
That is America.
That is.
Woo!
That is. We don't need no driver's license. We don't need any of that.
Well, the driver's a commercial. That's another story.
From the state.
We don't need a license to live.
Nope, sure don't.
And certainly don't need a license to preach. Anyway, that's a movie. One thing I didn't say, talking about socialism, I got into socialism a little bit, about Luciferianism and what have you. One thing that the founders, one of the main reasons the founders and through the intellectual part of the population, why they didn't like socialism or redistribution of wealth or social justice, that's what's called today, they abhorred it. Why did they abhor it? They abhorred it because of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal,
mm-hmm.
and thou shalt not covet.
That's correct.
And that's what socialism is. I don't have the opportunities that what's your name has. Well, then you got to give me the opportunity. That's covetedness.
Right.
So then when the government says, okay, we'll take it from them, Johnny, and give it to Susie,
right.
That's stealing.
And they never take it from the billionaires.
It doesn't seem like it, does it?
Nope.
They volunteer in principle. Well, I'll throw you a little bone here.
Yeah, I pay all these taxes. Do you really? I don't think so.
Yeah. How did that work with Jeff Bezos?
Yeah, exactly.
And anyway, anything else you want to say about that? I think
well, let's see. Our Russian friend said, "What will you live for, and what will you die for?"
Daniel Estlin.
Daniel Estlin.
You know.
What a profound statement that was.
That is a it's a very dramatic statement. And it's almost like that's a little too much for me. But what he said is time that you decide for what purpose you are living. What is your purpose in life? And this is really the same discussion that the founders had.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really is the exact same questions. what is my purpose in life? And then for what purpose are you willing to give that life? What is more important than your life? You know, as Patrick Henry said, you know, is peace so dear or life so dear or peace so sweet to be purchased at the price of change or slavery? The great political question. The great political question. Is your life worth more than freedom, or is freedom worth more than your life?
Yeah. And they're being tested over in Hong Kong right now.
Well, that's a big story. You know, you're leading right to the first.
Oh, I did not.
First story.
I did not know that.
China threatens retaliation after U.S. Senate passes Hong Kong bill. Stocks, yuan tumble. Basically, the Senate passed the bill saying that the people in China, in Hong Kong, have certain human rights. I find it very curious that they don't care anything about the Muslims in the concentration. Job training centers.
Right, exactly.
The job training centers. Mm-hmm. I find that very curious. Or the Falun Gong in the...
Getting their organs ripped out while they're alive.
In the meat market in the prisons there. I find that curious. But what do you take away from Senate making this? This is very... Obviously, it's provocative.
It is provocative, and it was unexpected. Did you expect that? I didn't.
I did in this context. I thought it possible. Obviously, like I said, they're not mentioning the Muslims.
Nope.
They're not mentioning the Falun Gong.
But, they're right in the middle of the trade deal with China, and to throw that in there, did they want to sabotage what Trump is doing? You know?
No, I saw it as this.
Okay.
I said this is the one area where it's not unexpected. Okay. Yes, I didn't expect it, but I can see that they're using it as leverage.
Okay.
You know, if you're having a broader negotiations about Taiwan, about Hong Kong.
Well, Trump said they're close. They're real close to an agreement right now.
They probably want to make the point, hey, you know, if you don't do this, we're going to make trouble for you in Hong Kong. We're going to make trouble for you in Taiwan. And probably the underlying message is, we haven't even mentioned all those Muslims you have in the job training center, quote,
yeah.
I'm making air quotes. We haven't even mentioned that. If you want real trouble around the world.
Yeah.
You know,
you want to fire it up, let's go.
Yeah, if you want, so maybe that's kind of a shot across the bow.
Yeah, it surprised me. It really did surprise me.
I agree with you. It surprised me, but not, like, shock me.
Yeah.
From that perspective.
I agree.
This flea circus, I call it flea circus. You ever been to a flea circus, ladies and gentlemen? You know, the little things move.
Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to see them.
And you're like, look harder, kids.
Yeah, look
harder.
There they are.
Look harder, boys and girls. There they are.
Yeah.
There they are. Look at them, Mom. Look at them, Dad. They're moving, you know. That's what this has become. I have been hesitant to even get into this very deep, but let's at least a little bit talk about what's gone on in the last couple of days.
It's been boring as heck.
Well, the ratings prove that.
Yeah. Gordon Sondland was up there talking this morning, and he's boiled it down to there was a quid pro quo. He's the ambassador, one of the ambassadors for Trump. And he's boiled it down to...
He said there's a quid pro quo.
Yeah, there's a bit quid pro quo. And then he asked him, okay, how did you come to this...
belief.
Belief. Did
somebody tell you?
Trump tell you that? No. Did...
was there evidence of it?
Juliana tell you that? No. Did the other ambassadors tell you that? No. But it was just... a feeling, a belief that there was a quid pro quo. It was the most stupidest thing I ever heard in my entire life.
This whole thing, you know, I detest both parties. Please don't send me emails about, I detest both
so
parties.
So do I.
But I loathe the Democratic National Committee, the DNC.
Yeah.
I loathe them.
The Communist Party.
That's right.
The devil worshippers.
Right. For allegedly.
Right.
For, for many reasons, and we've detailed this, anything that party that openly pushes socialism and openly calls for guns, we don't even have to talk about abortions or any of the other things. Just talk about those two things. Then they're a terrorist organization.
Yeah, I agree.
That's me.
Yeah.
I loathe them.
Hate them.
Now, so... like I said, I'm probably biased on this, but I'm looking at this situation. I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong. You've seen it more than I've hardly watched any of it. I've watched some of the summaries.
I had to force myself.
This makes them look ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean.
And then And then, you know, during the break, and I had a break this morning, and Adam Schiff pops out on cue. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. There's your quid pro quo. The Sunderland just said the quid pro quo. Right,
who said
out of
that?
His mouth.
Who?
Schiff. Shifty Schiff.
Oh, Schiff.
You know, right in front of him with his beady eyes. He looks like he's on speed, allegedly.
Would you let him watch your children? I wouldn't let
my parakeet.
Oh boy. Me neither. Oh my gosh. Excuse me. Me neither. I would not let him watch anything of value to me.
Nope.
Where's this going?
I hope nowhere. I can't see anything coming out of it.
I mean, from
except
what we've seen so far.
Look bad.
Okay, the bigger question is, obviously this is, I mean, so far, I mean, unless they pull something out that we know nothing about, maybe it's a shot across the bow. Maybe it's kind of like America and the Hong Kong thing. Maybe it's a shot across the bow to Trump. Hey, you get out of line, and we do have something here.
Right. Well, I think they're just going to keep on bringing people up. And
okay.
And at some point in time, I think somebody's going to get up there and lie and say, yeah, Trump told me this, or, you know, Giuliani said this, you know. That's just my opinion.
I mean, from what I've seen, that Vindman, did you see that Vindman? Lieutenant Colonel Vindman.
Yeah. Oh, that pompous.
I don't know if you've seen this. It's a guy with glasses. He's got black
pointy
hair.
Nose.
He has his army uniform. His army or not? I don't even know. I didn't even pay attention to what branch he's
probably in, stolen valor.
Anyway, he's up there and. Nunez, chairman, the co-chairman of the Intelligence Committee says, Mr. Vindman on this, he goes, I'm Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, please, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay. You know, I guess, you know, Nunez is not a military position.
The Democrats have promised him.
I don't know, but he just, again, you know, I would let him watch my parakeet, that guy, because he seems like he'd probably do it, but I wouldn't let him hold $5. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I trust him more than Schiff. Schiff, I wouldn't
Schiff
trust.
Is,
oh, my God.
Man, he's out there.
Well, so a lot of these.
I could see him with a devil thorns on his head, and robes and spells and
Let's not even go there. We know the Democratic Party is worshiping Molech. I mean, whether they're doing it subconsciously or consciously, I mean, just by their policy.
Yeah.
The Republicans, too. Ladies and gentlemen, please, again.
A lot of them. A lot of the Republicans
are right there
with them.
Right.
you don't get all that power without selling your soul.
Well, it doesn't seem like. Anyway, let's get off that. I don't even want to talk about that. What is the bigger thing that's being hidden by this goat rodeo?
We're not getting anything done.
Could it be that now nobody's paying attention to the economy?
Yeah.
All right.
Nothing's getting done.
Let's move on. Let's pump through the stories real quick.
I mean, they got to get that through. Nothing.
Iran, you know, there's a lot of protests. Iran protests leave over 100 dead, Amnesty says. Human Rights Watchdog Amnesty International said. U.S. deploys additional troops to Middle East to counter Iran. To counter them doing what?
Doing what?
That it deployed 3,000 additional troops to combat the growing threat posed by Iran. They're having civil unrest in their country. What threat are they posing? Comes to Iran and its regional terror proxies wage attacks on Israel, allegedly.
Right.
I'd like to, let's confirm that. Breaking. We mentioned this yesterday. Epstein prison guards charged with falsifying records. According to new bombshell revelations from Fox, the two prison guards who were working on the night that Jeffrey Epstein died were arrested yesterday for falsifying prison records. Tova Noel, I think that's how you pronounce it, Michael Thomas, conspiring to make these records and for defrauding the United States by breaking the law at the Met Correctional Center. It comes just minutes after a bombshell admission was made by the Bureau of Prisons director, Kathleen Sawyer, who announced the FBI is investigating the death of Epstein to see if a criminal enterprise took place.
I think so?
Well, what... Well, you know, this is the path. You know, people all the time talk about how the people are powerless or they're doing this. Mm-hmm. Or This is, I promise you, 100% a result of these memes going crazy all across America.
Oh, and
America,
absolutely.
I mean, everybody thinking Epstein did not kill himself.
Yeah, they thought they could shove that right under the bus and get away with it. But one thing good that came out of it, the FBI gave those two guards a plea deal, and they turned it down.
Senior U.S. diplomat says he followed Trump's orders on pressuring Ukraine. That's kind of what you were saying here. Gordon Sondland,
yeah,
says Pompeo was fully supportive of the efforts to push Ukraine and to carry out two investigations. I don't. What do I care if they have investigate? I mean, we gave $1.8 billion to Ukraine.
Right.
$1 billion of it disappeared. You got the vice president's son getting millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You got the situation with China. Why wouldn't you investigate?
Yeah, exactly.
Why wouldn't you investigate? So that's a pro. So if he says, you know what, I'm not going to give any more aid to you till we investigate what happened here. What's unreasonable about that?
Nothing.
That's why this is
so ridiculous.
Why don't they get up and say that? I mean, who cares even if he did?
Yeah, exactly.
MSM purges reports claiming U.S. has world's highest rate of children in detention after UN expert clarifies numbers are from the Obama era.
Who didn't know that?
So these news agencies went all over and started reporting how we have the highest rate of children in detention.
Right.
And then it's like, that was statistics from the Obama era.
Six years ago.
So under Obama, we had the highest rate.
Right.
And it's lowered. Actually, Trump has actually lowered that since then. So they're, you know, going backwards. To see how these people never give up. And you could see on this impeachment, they will hold to the lie. They will hold to the lie. They will. That's what I'm telling you about your belief and your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And what this cabal, they know that if we just hold to the lie, they'll never lose. They may not win, but they're not going to lose.
Right.
Okay. I say that because this next story. Jesse Smollett. Remember that guy?
Yeah, I remember him. Has he still got that rope around his neck?
And the bleach.
And the bleach.
He's got the bleach in his car.
Uh-huh.
He said he is now suing the city of Chicago for malicious prosecution.
Oh, my God.
Republicans seek to subpoena Hunter Biden, Ukraine whistleblower, DNC files. The most poignant thing of this whole impeachment for me, which about sent me through the roof, other than the whole thing in general, was when Jim Jordan is questioning Vindman. And he says, well, who did you tell these things to? And he said, well, I told it to this. I can only remember, you know, this person. And there are a group of six people that we mentioned, you know, because where is this story coming from? That's what he's trying to track. Where did you tell what you think you saw, blah, blah, blah. And he really didn't even, it wasn't even anything.
Right.
So, and he starts to list the people, and then Schiff says, we are not going to use this, forum to out the whistleblower.
Right.
And Jim Jordan says, and he should have doubled down. Jordan should have never let go on that point.
He shouldn't have.
He says to Schiff, you said you don't know who the whistleblower is, correct?
Right.
You know, and he didn't say anything. He just sits there, you know, eyes straight forward. Then he goes back to Vindman. I'm just asking Vindman who he told this to.
Right. It's not going to out.
Vindman says he doesn't know the whistleblower. You said that you don't know the whistleblower. So how me asking this question, how does it have anything to do with revealing the whistleblower?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And right there, it's like, this is, he said, you have to, it's your time to ask the questions. He should have went right back.
Right.
Okay. Who did you tell?
That's right.
And if he says, well, we're not out of the, so is this, so are we to believe, Schiff, that this is the whistleblower he told it to when you don't know and he don't know who the whistleblower is? So how can either one of you know? This is ridiculous. Let me ask the question again.
Yeah.
Who did you tell Lieutenant Colonel Vindman?
That's correct. That's what he should have done. 100%.
He should have made him stop him over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And show what a just moronic that is.
Yep, I agree.
Civil War log cabin discovered during house demolition.
Hmm.
There's a house that was being torn down in Prescott, Arizona. It's revealed an incredible secret made that date back centuries. The footprint of a log cabin. So now they're going to not let the people build
it. So now the crazies are going to come into conservationists.
Airlines expect to carry record 31+ million people this Thanksgiving. Don't fly on Thanksgiving if you can help it.
Yeah.
California braces for more blackouts. Researchers are storing energy using eggshells with new conductive material. Wow, the spent shells of chicken eggs might go from unwanted bio waste to cheap, renewable, and valuable alternative material. With this, did you hear about the, data storage? Data storage is a real problem. They're datafying everything. They're digitizing everything. So they don't have so much room. They're now discovering and have the ability experimenting with storing data on DNA. Can you imagine that?
I haven't heard that.
Wow. Yeah, that kind of freaked me out.
So they're going to combine the spirit with data?
Amazon mulls face-scanning doorbells. It's considered adding facial recognition technology to its Ring doorbell cameras. Give me a break. They're already doing it.
They're already doing it, yeah.
Or they're certainly trying. Radiologists conceal heavy metal accumulations from MRIs. Enhanced MRIs use a contrast agent or dye to improve the clarity of the images produced. A recent poll reveals 58% of radiologists avoid informing patients when deposits of toxic contrast agents are discovered. Wow, detox, ladies and gentlemen. Students ditch their phones for a week, and they report feeling happier and more refreshed.
I can see that, yeah.
I'd like to try that.
Yeah.
I would like to ditch my phone for more than a week. I try to keep it away from me wherever I can. Doctors call for ban on all vape e-cigarettes products amid deaths and illnesses.
That's ridiculous. Just do some research.
What do you mean, do some research?
Well, yeah, how many deaths they got? You get...
Well, this is like Ephedra. See, I don't like this because it's like Ephedra. Like one or two people die, and now they ban Ephedra, which was actually helping people. I'm not saying e-cigarettes are helping people.
But do a little more research before you start banning stuff.
Well, what I don't like, if you're going to ban it, you would ban it because it's secondhand smoke. I am all for, 100% for people doing what they want within reason. But when you're in a restaurant and you're smoking... Then that means I'm smoking, too.
That affects me.
So if they want to ban smoking restaurants, I'm fine with that.
Right.
But if you want to go to your house outside in your yard and smoke, that's a different question.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my point on this. Making positive lifestyle changes include improving your eating habits. A bit of healthy fat in your green smoothie goes a long way.
I agree.
Check it out, thepowerhour.com. We'll be right back. William Federer is here, ladies and gentlemen. William Federer.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. 817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum.
He's the author of over 20 books and speaking in over 100 cities a year. William Fetter is a best-selling author and nationally known speaker. And I asked him the question, does anybody call you America's historian yet? And he said, oh, there's a lot better. I just do what I do. But nobody quite does it like William Fetter. One of the greatest storytellers we've seen is American Minute. AmericanMinute.com is fantastic and just a pleasure to talk to him on the eve of Thanksgiving, so to speak. William Fetter, welcome back to the Power Hour.
It's great to be with you.
Now, you've written a lot of books. We've talked about several of them. You have a new book, I think, that fits with this discussion. We want to definitely get to Thanksgiving. The name of it is The Treacherous World of the 16th Century and How the Pilgrims Escaped It. Why did you write this book? Let's go back in history and start there and what led up to, you know, basically America. But let's start there.
Well, this is what I call the prequel to America's freedom. So, you know, they have the Star Wars and they come out with a prequel. So this has happened before. And so this goes through before the pilgrims came over. We look at Europe and you had the Muslims surrounding Vienna, Austria. Sultan Suleiman the Magnificent with 100,000 Turks. And, you know, they send a message to King Leopold saying, await us in your residence so we may decapitate you. And so people forget that all of North Africa used to be Christian. There were 250 Catholic dioceses along North Africa in the 7th century. Boom, all wiped out by the Umayyad Muslims. The Christians at that time had taught themselves their version of separation of church and state. It was called piety or pietism, where if you're really a Christian, you'll give away all your money and live in a cave. And so it was all this me-focused salvation that abandoned any responsibility to pass it on to your kids. And so the Muslims conquered North Africa. People forget Egypt used to be completely Christian, evangelized by Mark. They wrote the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, until the Muslim leader Amir ibn Alas conquers Egypt. Syria was completely Christian for 6 centuries, evangelized by the Apostle Paul. The name Christian was first used in Syria until Caliph Umar conquers it. And then all of Turkey used to be Christian. It was the Byzantine Christian Empire. All 7 churches mentioned in the book of Revelation, and they were all wiped out by the Ottoman Turks and the Seljuk Turks. And so Finally, the Turks are surrounding Vienna, Austria, and the Holy Roman Emperor, his name is Charles V. Now, you think, what's a Holy Roman Emperor? So for 1,000 years since Charlemagne, you had kings in Europe, and then all the different kings would sort of vote to have one of them be this Holy Roman Emperor who had a double duty of protecting Christendom. And so the King of Spain in the 1500s had to be the King of Spain, but also he was the protector. And so he had to fight the Muslim Turks on all these different fronts. And so then the Reformation starts in 1517, Martin Luther. And Charles V is the young King of Spain and Holy Roman Emperor, and he's got this trial. He's got a bunch of monks on one side saying one thing and this one lone monk on the other side. He called it an argument among monks. And so he basically says, I'm going with the many. Sorry, Martin Luther. But Martin Luther's swept away, hidden in a castle, translates the Bible into German. And some German princes were looking for an opportunity to break away from Rome. And they tell their kingdom, we're all now Lutheran. And so Europe begins to break up. And so Charles V, the Holy Roman Emperor, is now faced with two problems. The internal problem of the Reformation, the external problem of the Muslims invading and surrounding Vienna, Austria, and taking over the Mediterranean. And so Charles V, after a couple of decades of trying to stop the Islamic invasion, does a deal with the Protestants. It's called the Peace of Augsburg of 1555. It is the first treaty ever to recognize Protestants. And there's a little Latin phrase in this treaty that had enormous repercussions. The phrase was, tuius regio, ius religio, which means, whose is the reign, is the religion. In other words, look, Protestant king, believe whatever you want in your kingdom. Let's just work together against these Muslims who are invading Europe because they sort of want to kill us all. Well, it worked. It stopped the invasion. But in the next century, different kings decided to believe different things. And so England was Anglican. Scotland was Presbyterian. Holland was Dutch Reformed. Northern Germany and Sweden were Lutheran, Switzerland Calvinist. And, of course, Italy, Spain, France, Austria, Poland stayed Catholic. But it was this concept. It was one Christian denomination per country. So we go from one Christian denomination per continent, right, Catholic. Now it's one Christian denomination per country. So we're sort of dividing up the pie. And but if you don't believe the way your king did, it's considered treason. And so we focus on England. England had the king, Henry VIII, and he is married to the daughter of the King of Spain. You know how these kings would intermarry. But after 18 years, this daughter, her name's Catherine of Aragon, she does not have a son. So Henry decides to divorce her. The Pope won't recognize the divorce because the King of Spain's army did invade Rome and imprison the Pope for 6 months. So the Pope's not in any hurry to get on the wrong side of Spain. So the Pope says no to the divorce. Henry VIII says, you know what? I'm just going to declare myself my own Pope. He starts the Church of England, puts himself on as the head, goes on to have 6 wives, and their fates were divorce, beheaded, died, divorce, beheaded, survived. So Henry VIII was not a really nice guy to be married to. Ended up being around 400 pounds. He only ate meat. He thought vegetables and fruit were sissy food. So he's eating pork and beef and chicken and turkey. And he's just getting bigger, bigger, gets gout in his leg, and then he dies. But anyway, after he divorces his first wife, his advisors come to him and they say, King, if you're really serious about breaking from Rome, you need to stop using that Latin Bible. You need to get yourself an English Bible. The German princes have Martin Luther's German Bible that helped them to break away from Rome. You need an English Bible. So it's interesting. Just a couple of years earlier, Henry VIII had William Tyndale burnt at the stake for translating the Bible into English. But now, it's a couple years later, he wants to break from Rome. He needs an English Bible. William Tyndale's last words were, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. So here they basically take William Tyndale's work, they redo it, they call it the Great Bible, and Henry has it printed en masse and put in every single church in England. It's called a chained Bible because they would chain it to the pulpit. It was so valuable. But they would sort of rent out time. This is the first time ever that the people in England could read the scriptures in their own language. I mean, there were some scholarly translations, but this is where the first, the common people had access to the Bible. And something unexpected happened. People began to read it and began to compare what's in this Bible to this king divorcing and beheading his wives. And so a group starts that wants to purify the Church of England. They are nicknamed the Puritans. Well, the king obviously does not think he needs purifying, so he persecutes the Puritans. There's another group that said it's beyond hope of wanting to purify the Church of England. We are going to separate ourselves. They call themselves separatists. We call them pilgrims. And so they would meet in secret barns and basements by candlelight, sort of like the illegal house churches in China. They would get raided. They'd be brought before, you know, the government, whipped and beaten. They were even dragged before the Star Chamber. So the king's attitude was, yes, you can read the Bible in your own language, but no, you still can't believe what you want. You got to believe what I tell you to want. And so the king passes the Act of Uniformity in Prayer. And so you don't just make up prayers. You read the approved prayers out of the book. A wedding, funeral, a baptism, whatever it is, you just open it up to the page and read it. And if you have five people meeting in your home and you are talking religion without approval of the king, you're all criminals. They'll bust into your house and arrest everybody like they're doing in China. And if you they passed a 5-mile act. If you're caught preaching within 5 miles of a town without approval of the government, you're a criminal. And the Star Chamber, they'll twist your arm. And there's secret hearings, sort of like what's going on in Washington, D.C., these secret hearings. And you can't meet your accuser. You can't have an attorney. They'll twist your arm. They'll brand you on the face as a heretic, even cut off your ear or cut your nose in half, or put you in the pillory in the middle of town with your arms and legs in shackles. And so this was the reason that the separatists began to want to flee. One separatist leader, he ended up being one of the founders of the Baptist faith in England, Thomas Helwise. He dies in the Newgate prison. He's a dissenter. And he basically says, if the king can stand there on the day of judgment and answer for your conscience, fine, believe whatever the king tells you to believe. But if the king is not going to be there on the day of judgment, you are accountable to God for your own conscience. Anyway, excuse me. Wow. So the pilgrims decide to flee. And they, a group of them, sorry, I got a little frog in my throat here.
Hey, that's okay. Get some water. Take a second. I'm struck by couple things. Let me ask you a quick. Go ahead and clear your throat or whatever you need to do. I'm struck by yesterday we talked about George Whitefield and kind of how revolutionary this idea that God's intimately connected with you when he went to the colonies, and the colonies just, you know, this is like the greatest thing ever, and the king doesn't have an exclusive right to speak to God. What you're saying, you know, 100 years or so before that, or 150, I guess, before George Whitefield, some man just said, you have a right to believe your conscience. It's like, you're going to jail and we're going to kill you. My God, oh, you can't say anything like that. I'm just struck by this.
Yes, yes. Later, there's William Penn, and he spends 8 months in the Newgate prison himself. Oh, he's in the Tower of London. And he said, force makes hypocrites. 'Tis persuasion only that makes converts. And so wow. It begins this concept of conscience, that your worship of God is only valuable to God if it is freely given, not just raising your hands and say, okay, whatever the king says, I'll just go with it. I don't understand it, but I'm fine with it. You know? And so this is what gives birth to the whole idea of evangelism. I mean, if you happen to believe, if everybody has to believe what the king says, why have an evangelistic meeting? But once you give birth to this concept of conscience, then people have a choice as to whether or not they're going to surrender their heart to the Lord. And so that's what gave birth to these revival preachers. First, it was a revival movement inside of the Anglican Church by the Wesleys, but then it breaks out with the George Whitefield that you mentioned. But anyway, back to the pilgrims. So a group of pilgrim separatists sell their property, arrange to get passage on a ship in London over to Holland right before the ship takes off. The captain turns them over to the authorities and then robs them, and they're put in jail as heretics, right? Another group of these pilgrim separatists arrange for a Dutch ship to pick them up off the coast, and they have their rowboats, and they're going to row out. Well, the pilgrims arrive a day early. They're in their rowboats, and the sea is rough, and the women and the children, the little kids are are getting sick. They're waiting, waiting, waiting. And the wives say, look, can we wait on land? And they say, okay. And then the Dutch ship comes. The men row out, put their stuff on the ship. And someone had snitched. The British come over the hill, capture the women and children. And the Dutch captain says, I don't have any army to wage a war. We're out of here. He pulls anchor and sails away with the men. And these women are watching their men sail away for 2 years. They pass those women and children from one court in England to another. They're in prison and jailed one court, another. Wow. Finally, a judge says, you didn't do anything wrong. Go home. They go, duh, we sold our homes. And then just to get them out of their hair, they put them on a boat, send them over to Holland. They finally find out where their husbands are at. So there's a happy ending to that chapter. But these pilgrims are in Holland for 12 years. Spain threatens to attack Holland. It was an 80-year war of independence for Holland to break away from Spain. And Holland had a 7 United Provinces, and they had a little give and take when it came to religion, and so that's why the pilgrims wanted to go over there. So the pilgrims then decide, well, we don't want to be conquered by Spain. Let's go to the New World. They originally think of going to Guyana in South America. They hear of the perpetual spring and the nice warm weather, but then someone tells them about what the Spanish do to other country settlements. So Jacksonville, Florida, 1565. Had a Fort Caroline settlement of a bunch of Protestants from France. They were called Huguenots. Spanish found out about it, butchered all the men, took the women and children away. And so these pilgrims say, let's not go to Guyana. It's too close to the Spanish main. That's the area of the Caribbean controlled by Spain. So the pilgrims decide to go to Jamestown, started about a dozen years earlier. It was a king-controlled colony, but they thought we'll be 3,000 miles away, and the king won't notice us. So they get on the boat, and it starts leaking. They have to go back, re-caulk it, because it's a wooden boat with beams, and they would, you know, shove greasy cloths in between the wooden beams. But then when the wind blows, the wind, you know, tilts the ship over. Well, it compresses the wooden beams on one side, but Sepp opens them up on the other. There's leaks, so they got to take the boat back. They re-caulk it. It still leaks. They swap it out for the Mayflower. They're wasting a lot of time eating through their food. But now they're coming across the Atlantic in the winter. It's stormy. They are 102 of them. They're in a 4-foot-high space for 66 days, 3,000-mile journey. One dies, another's born. And they get to America, and they're 500 miles away from Jamestown. And how am I doing time-wise?
You're doing fantastic. I'll stop. You got about 8 minutes before the break, so you're doing great.
Okay. And so the pilgrims decide to they say, well, let's try to go to Jamestown. Well, off the coast of Cape Cod, it's really shallow, about a mile out, and 3,000 ships have sunk on that stretch of the coast. And so the pilgrims almost get stuck on the sandbar and smashed to pieces in the violent waves. The captain gets free, goes back to Plymouth Rock, says, it is too dangerous to do any more sailing. Everyone off the boat. And the pilgrims are like, it's November 20th. There's no king appointed person on the boat. And so this is interesting. They decide to give themselves the authority to start a government. And that is profound. And it's a polarity change in the flow of power. Instead of top-down rule by kings, the whole world is ruled by Chinese emperors, Indian maharajas, Russian czars, kings of Spain, France, Austria, African chieftains, you know, King Kamehameha's, and, you know, Japanese emperors. The whole world is ruled by kings through their underlings, and there's no king-appointed person on the pilgrim boat, but yet the captain is saying, get off. And so they do something unique. They give themselves the authority to start a government. And it's actually a polarity change in the flow of power. Instead of top down, it's bottom up. In the womb of this little Mayflower is this DNA change. And it's the beginning of self-government. That's why we look back to the pilgrims as the quote-unquote founders, because they came up with this model of self-government. And where did they get this idea? From their pastor, John Robinson. He was not a king-appointed Anglican pastor. He's considered one of the founders of the Congregationalist Church, which is a church model where everybody in the congregation is involved, right? Taking care of the kids in the nursery and the daycare and the junior high and, you know, adult Sunday school, and then you become a deacon. And it's this bottom-up form of government. And then when you have tough decisions, everyone fasts and prays and votes. It's the difference between a dead pyramid rule from the top down and a living tree, where every root and every tiny capillary root sucks in nutrients to help keep this thing alive. Every single citizen participates in this bottom-up form of government working. So they basically took their church model of government and they made it their community model of government. And then the Pilgrims became the model for the other New England colonies. And you had a pastor. Go ahead.
Let me pause you here. We got about, 6 or 7 minutes. Let me make a couple comments and get your thoughts. I'm struck by two things listening to you. One, how much tyranny was done in the name of religion. I mean, I'm just never surprised by, in the name of God, how many people were oppressed and killed and what have you. It just never ceases to amaze me. And the idea, comparing America to the old world, Europe, what America became, Thomas Jefferson, these thoughts, George Whitefield, whatever, the independence, the reason, the morality. In the old world, they had religion, they believed in God, but yet they were so tyrannical. You know, it's not the idea, well, just because we believe in God, then we're free. No, what America did was profound beyond profound. The second thing that strikes me about everything, well, really the first thing that strikes me is your ability to tell a story, which is fantastic. The next thing that strikes me is you can see the fingerprints of some divine providence and divine guidance through all, you know, King Henry VIII was really a scoundrel, but you can see how God was creating seeds that then would go to America by his action because he wanted the divorce and him killing his wives and how, you know, this tragedy with the boat led to this, how through the fingerprints of God through these supposed tragedies of history, we are birthed. The miraculous events occurred. That's what strikes me.
Well, and the one story, and again, all of this is in the book, The Treacherous World of the 16th Century and How the Pilgrims Escaped It. If anyone's interested, my website's AmericanMinute.com. But the story is Squanto. This is fascinating. So about the same time the Pilgrims flee England to Holland, and they're there for 12 years, about that same time you had some unscrupulous European, you know, boats go along the coast of America and lure Indians on board, put them in chains, take them back to Spain, sell them into slavery. So a little background. You got Columbus discovering America. You have Spain has a monopoly on the New World for 100 years, and other countries try to do settlements. Spain wipes them out. Spain's taking the gold from the New World, the Incas, and they're using it to fit out their navy to fight the Muslims to keep them from taking over Europe. And then you have the French, Dutch, and the English robbing the Spanish ships of gold. And so they're like pirates. And so they're not really scrupulous Puritans and Pilgrims. They're sort of a rough and tough crowd. You know, they found Jamaica and Port Royal, and it was like they called the sodomy of the New World because of the pirates and so forth. But so these Pilgrims, they land on this seaboard. Well, a couple of years, this is a dozen years before, one of the Indians that's captured is named Squanto, and he's taken to Spain, sold into slavery, but he's freed by some monks, and we assume that he was introduced to Christianity. But then he hitchhikes his way across Europe to London. And now this American Indian is in London, learns how to speak English, gets jobs, he's working. And I mean, just imagine this. He's living there for years, for like a dozen years. And then he finds a business that is doing trading with Newfoundland and fishing and so forth. And so he gets to go over to Newfoundland, and now he's like an interpreter. And then he finally gets a ship to drop him off at Cape Cod, only to find his entire tribe is dead. What happened? William Bradford said that a few years earlier, a French ship was shipwrecked at Cape Cod, and the sailors got ashore, but the Indians never left watching them and dogging them till they got the advantage and killed them all but three or four, who they sent from one sachem chief to another, making sport with them, using them worse than slaves. Well, evidently, one of those French fishermen must have had some illness. The Indians did not have immunity. It wiped out the entire tribe. So in a sense, had Squanto not been kidnapped, he most certainly would have died. But here he is. He's depressed. He goes off to live with the Wampanoag tribe. And this is just a few months before the Pilgrim's Land. The Pilgrim's Land at his spot, and since it was so thorough of a wiping out of the other tribe, no other Indian tribe claimed that land. It was sort of a no-man's land. So the Pilgrims landed on one spot that was more or less uninhabited. But half of the Pilgrims died the first winter. And the next spring in March, the Squanto comes into the camp, and you can just imagine the scene. Here he is with his leather, you know, loincloth and his feathers in his hair, and he goes, oh, you guys from London? Yeah, I used to live there. Oh, yeah, down on Wharf Street. Oh, yeah, St. Paul's Chapel. I know, yeah. Yeah, and he goes, and then he says, here? I grew up here. I know this area like the back of my hand. Over the hill, there's a spring over there. And William Bradford says that Squanto was a special instrument sent of God for their good beyond their expectation. He showed them how to catch fish. The Pilgrims said, we tried. He goes, no, they're salmon. They spawn in April. This river will be packed. You'll just put nets in there and harvest them. And then he showed them how to plant corn. They said, we tried. He goes, no, you have to take a dead fish, put it down, and then put the kernel on there and guard it for a couple of weeks to keep the wolves away. The dead fish fertilizes the soil, and you have a nice stalk of corn. He taught them how to put the corn in a pot, shake it over a fire, and make popcorn, right? That came from the American Indians.
Wow.
Taught them how to go down a riverbank, squeegee in the mud, and catch eels. And then William Bradford says, neither was there a man among them who had even seen a beaver skin until instructed by Squanto. And it took 40 years worth of beaver skins to pay off their debt to the investors that paid for their boat ride. We never ask ourselves. But then he finally dies, and a couple years later, and Squanto begs Governor Bradford to pray for him that he would go to the Englishman's God in heaven. But Squanto put him on good terms with the other Indian tribes, and that's how they had that first Thanksgiving.
Stay tuned. Wow, more William Bradford on the other side. This is your country, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. AmericanMinute.com, ThePowerHour.com. We'll be right back.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.